on man's side, man will think that he is not deserving of God. But on God's side, like we sang, it will break down every wall. It will tear down every lie just to get to man. Because man matters to him. Man matters to him. Man may think, I don't matter. But God knows. And so, ojo, vara, dikle, sesto. Envele biato susto shkobravine de galikre sesto. Envelope prostapali ekalashto. So envelope yourself in that knowledge that his love is forever in you, with you, and for you. For you matter to him. You matter to him. So say not in your heart, oh, I'm unsure. Oh, what I mean to him. Oh, you mean everything to him. You mean everything to him. That is why his love is over you. That is why his love is over you. So lurkria stupra vingra astumegalaste. So quit staying in your heart. Oh, those uncertainties. Oh, and speak with certainty that which is in the word. That which is in the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, James chapter 1. Glory. Father, thank you. For our eyes are open to see the reality of the spirit that you have given. Our eyes are open to see you in the resurrection of Jesus. Our eyes are open to see, oh, that love that you have bestowed upon us. And even to understand the manner of it. Oh, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. So James chapter 1, you're welcome to church. Of course, evidently Reverend is not around. He had to be somewhere ministering. Why? Because all ears and all heart must hear this gospel. Not just any gospel. The gospel rightly divided. The gospel of Christ rightly divided. You know, that is what grows a man. Oh, that is what grows a Christian. Peter says that you desire the what? Sincere milk. The unadulterated milk of the word. Not mixed with chaff. Okay. James chapter 1. My brethren. Verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So patience has a work. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally. So the word man is italicized. It wasn't there originally, so you can remove it. So what he's saying is, if you lack wisdom, ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What is the characteristics of God there? He gives. He gives to who? All. Does he give to Christians only? Really? He gives to all. And all means all. Save none. That is phenomenal. That is the characteristics of God, who is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't find fault. That is what he means. God carries no sinometer. He carries no sinometer. He doesn't do what's that word in Daniel? Mene mene teke or person. God doesn't do that. He's a lavish giver. He gives indiscriminately, not counting fault. He doesn't say, you said there was no God yesterday. You have been weighed. You have found wanting. No. That is what James here says, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men. Why do I pray? I pray because he is a giving God. I'm not praying to get him to give. He already is a giving God. So hence I pray. I'm praying because he's a giver. He doesn't know any other thing to do but give. My praying doesn't make him give. Whether I pray or not pray, he's still a giver. And he's a giver that gives to all. And he's a giver that doesn't find fault. So, it doesn't matter how you feel based on that wrongdoing that you have done. It doesn't change God. Look at the next verse. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavery, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, being driven with the wind and tossed. So when it comes to God giving, there's no mention of faith there. But when it comes to you receiving, it says, let him ask in faith. Why? Because asking in faith helps you not to waver. Your asking in faith helps you not to waver. Do you understand? Your asking in faith helps you not to be tossed to and fro. If you are going to be tossed to and fro, what will be the issue? Because you would then think that God is going to find fault, and because he finds fault, he's not going to give. That is why it says, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Because you waver thinking that he's going to find fault. But he doesn't find fault. So he says, let him ask in faith. So asking in faith then stabilizes you to be able to receive from the giving God. Helps you not to be tossed like the wind. Look at it. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because he's wavering. How would you think he's wavering? In his thoughts. In his thoughts. So he's wavering in his thoughts. Is his reasoning, right? When you talk about thought, you're talking about the reasoning. Or his ideology, his mental slant. Verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So he's having two minds. God gives. Sometimes he doesn't give. He will not give that thing that will destroy you because he knows it will destroy you. You've heard that mentality before. He's testing you. Let's continue. So you don't say, oh, because I have no fault, then I'm a recipient of God's giving ability. You know, that's works. That is you being wavering. That's you wavering. That's you having double-mindedness. Thinking that by your actions, oh, I'm a clean guy. So if God wants to give, who will he give to first? You just wavered. Thinking that he finds fault. Do you understand? He's a giving God. He doesn't count faults. He doesn't look at it to give you. He doesn't look at it to give you. So I don't base God's giving on him not finding fault in me. I've just said that. When I do, I have wavered. So it's not about morality. I do good. So God should do good to me. In man's world, that is the thinking. But God is not like that. Let me look. When he says being tossed to and fro, what makes us, you know, get, tossed with the wind, you know? Look at Ephesians 4. We'll come back to James. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 talks about that we no more be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So that's Ephesians chapter 4, and where now? Verse 14. Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up, that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and give some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We all come in the unity of the faith. What is the unity of the faith? It's one. It's not many. Eh? What is the unity of the faith? The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. So what is it that tosses a man? Huh? Doctrine. What he hears. What he hears. James says, what you hear has an effect on whether you will waver or not. So, how important is what you hear? Huh? Whatever you hear about God, it's either going to bring stability to you or instability. Huh? Whatever you hear about Him is going to either bring stability to you or instability. So if you hear that He's a good God, only good. How many of you know that God has never killed a man? Has never killed a man. Will never kill a man. Has never been in the debt of any. Eh? Never been responsible for the debt of any. You are quiet. This side is quiet. Pardon. Okay. It says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. What's the wisdom? What is that wisdom? What does James call wisdom? Look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse what? Temptations. Count it all joy when you fall in. So what is the wisdom? Your ability to count it all joy when you fall into temptations. What are temptations? Temptation. God is testing me. Verse 13. Let no man say, what is it that we said tosses a man? Makes him unstable. Makes him waver. What he hears. What he says. Eh? He says, let no man do what? Say. That is like teaching, preaching, confession. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am what? Tempted of God. For God cannot tempt what? With what? Neither. So, when I arrive at a conclusion about certain situations and circumstances, to say that God is tempting me, what have I displayed? I lack wisdom. Huh? It just says, I lack wisdom. I'm a double-minded fellow. Alright? Let no man say, when he's tempted what? Of God. Because God cannot tempt any man. So when you arrive at that, it just shows you lack wisdom. And it says, you better recognize that you lack wisdom. Or you are double-minded. And then ask the one that gives without counting faults. Huh? Without listing sins. Do you understand? Huh? So what James is saying here is about temptation. Your perception. Is it from God? Is it not from God? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Let's look at First Corinthians. What exactly is temptation? Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13 says it. It says, are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, there are no temptation taking you, but such as is what? Common to man. What do you need in order to be tempted? Be a man. Just be a man. And temptation is what? Guaranteed. That's the truth. God is not tempted. He's God. But for Jesus to be tempted, because he was tempted, yes or no? How, on what basis was he tempted? He became a man. So this thing, temptation is not supernatural. It's not divinely orchestrated. It's just because we are men. Simple. Don't overrate it. It is common. It's not particular to you. You. It's common to all. That's what Peter said. It says it's common to all. Where do you find God? But God is faithful. What does he do? He makes a way of escape. Where do you find God? Yeah. In the way of escape. Not in the temptation. God is not in your temptation. You are tempted, number one, because you are a man. Number two, you have desires. That's what James says, if you read the next verse. It says a man is tempted when he's drawn away of his desires. So, being a man guarantees that you'll be tempted. But when you are tempted, do not say it is of God. That's what James is alluding to. Don't say that temptation is of God. Let's go back to our James. Because God is too powerful to tempt with sin. He is too powerful to tempt you. Too powerful to tempt you. He's too powerful to encourage evil. So what you consider as evil, as temptation, is really not, is not powerful, because God is all powerful. So evil, temptation, is what? It's powerless. It's powerless. Only then we then, you know, enlarge it in our minds. It's powerless. Evil isn't power. It's powerlessness that man is afraid of. Man is afraid of evil. Man is afraid of something that is powerless. Where you have God's power. Where do you see God's power? In his ability to do what? To save. Will we all have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? So, if God were to flex his power, in what way will he flex it? To save, to deliver, to make a way of escape, never to tempt. So, when you hear something that then presupposes that God is the other way, what are you supposed to do? You don't hear it. You jackpa. You understand it, right? You know, you don't keep company with such people. Let me break it down. You don't keep company with such people. Because after a while, you will think God is good today and bad tomorrow. He's testing me to see if I'm strong, if I'm well able. And then they remind you of Job. Consider him. But don't snuff his life. You know that's not God. You know what? Anyway, we'll get there. So when a man thinks that God tempts, he's being double-minded. And you are not to be double-minded. So it then gives you a responsibility to cast your mind back. What have I heard all this while? I'm not saying in church alone. Because we hear not only in church, right? Yeah? And well, many of us listen to other ministers. Yes? Yeah? And it's not bad. It's not bad. Right? But what you are saying is, be mindful, take heed what you hear and what comes out of your mouth. In fact, take heed of what you think about. Because thoughts become words and words become thoughts. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. So, because you don't develop an idea or a thought in vacuum. It's based on what you have heard. So, James will say, let no man say. For that man to arrive at saying, what has he has heard it, he's thought about it, and like, be like, say this thing true. As I see him. Not rightly dividing. Not rightly. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, not rightly dividing. You know, this book, this Bible, is a dangerous book. Please, not everything in this book, you should know that by now, is the Word of God. You cannot take everything in this book hook, line, and sinker. They call it basic instruction before leaving earth. I don't know how they arrived at that. Not everything in this book that they say God did is what God did. You need to be able to what? Rightly divide. Rightly divide. 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, sorry. You need to be able to rightly divide. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be what? Ashamed, rightly dividing. So if you're not able to rightly divide, you're bringing shame, not to God, well, necessarily to you, yourself. I say study, exert yourself, be diligent. Cut it fine line. When you cut it, don't cut anyhow. When you cut, you see this thread. Do you understand? Cut it, let it be a fine line between where you say God is and what he is not. Do you understand? Look at it. It says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will what? Increase unto what? More what? Ungodliness. So if I don't rightly divide, what is it going to lead to? More ungodliness. And then Paul tells Timothy, shun it. Otherwise, what is profane? Not rightly dividing the word of truth. Go on. Verse 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is what? Hymenaeus or whatever. And Philetus. So Paul mentions names to say, these guys are not rightly dividing. These guys are speaking profane ramblings. Fluff. They are saying shafts. They are not giving the sincere milk of the word. It's okay to mention names though. People that are not teaching, because people need to know. You see, never stay on the fence where the word of God is concerned. Don't stay on the fence. Be found where you ought to be found. Where your papa is, be found there. What he has done, be found there. But don't say, but he's just saying it in a different way. Can we not marry the two together? What are you marrying together? Let no man say when he's tempted, he's tempted of God. Don't marry anything together. Don't stay on the fence. In fact, don't company with people that stay on the fence where the word of God is concerned. It says rightly dividing. And then he calls out people so that other people will know, hey, these guys, they'll put you into trouble. Look at what he says. He says their word does like what? Canker or cancer. If I ask you, do you want cancer? What will you say? No. In 3D, right? But how does that cancer come? It tells us. Listening to words. And those words bring about cancer. In your reasoning, in your thoughts. Look at it. The next verse. It says their word in verse 17. Verse 18. Who what? Concerning. I've done what? Heard. How did they hear? Heard. What was their error? Saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrowed what? The faith of some. So they are adding to God what God has not said. That is the error. When you see a man adding to what God has not said, that man is in error. Run. Just know that cancer is brewing. And if you don't want it, run. Right? Run. Yeah, because why are we so big on... Yeah, because men have killed on account of this is what God said. Faith, people's faith has been destroyed on account of not rightly dividing the word of truth. Men have been destroyed on account of not rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it's important. You cannot have, you know, that is why Paul will tell Timothy, that which you have heard of me amongst many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men, who also will in turn. How do we eradicate those profane and old wife fables and those endless genealogies? We start it where we are. We commit it to each other. And let the other person commit it to another. You know, when in Acts it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It wasn't mystical. It wasn't mystical. I hope you know. It wasn't that they just woke up one day, boom, and it just spread. You could see it. Oh, the cloud of glory. Just, forgive me. What did they do? They preached. They taught. They preach, they taught. And what people hear and say, they have the tendency also to pass it along. Huh? So it matters what you listen to, really. It matters the company. You see, on account of this word, it matters the company you keep. On account of the word. Eh? Make friends just on account of this word, though. I will choose my friends. I will choose my inner circles on account of this word. Because your stability or instability depends on your ability to rightly divide. And your ability to rightly divide depends on the associations of people that you keep. Who are doctrines of devils is not the spirit being just overing. No, it's men. It's men that are saying it. Men in flesh and blood. What's that book? We're delivered from the power of darkness. Have you ever read that book? Jesus. Not the Queen of the Coast, though. Men, you will hear them say, and you will wonder when you look. It's not about having large congregation or not having large congregation, but you will hear some words spoken. Some words preached, and clearly you will know that these guys have sat under this person long enough to not be able to distinguish what is right from what is wrong with respect to the word. And then when you come along to tell them what is the truth, it's almost like it can't be. You know, that is the danger in falling into the wrong association. That is the danger of falling into the wrong association on account of the word. As a saint, you must learn to rightly divide the word of truth. You know, this study the Bible does not allow for you to be creative. It is clearly spelled out. Just say it as is. You are not allowed to be creative. If you want to hula, just make sure you are hulering the word. If you want to shout, just make sure you are shouting the word. Don't come and add something. That is cancerous. And we might just have to call you out. That's what Paul did now. You know, at some point, Paul had to withstand Peter. He's on account, not that he has any grout, he's on account of this word, though, because there are implications of not rightly dividing. There are consequences. Men may lose their life. Well, men have lost their lives due to poor interpretation. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. You see, your estimation of God will determine how you yourself will act. If you think that he gives and takes, he makes alive and kills, that is how you will act. You too will kill. That's the truth. And then when you act, you say, he commanded. Thus saith the Lord. And I went. And I did. In the name of the Lord. That's what happens. Have you not heard? I was still... I can't say some of those things. Because someone somewhere will come and tell you a prophecy. And then... Thank God, there's revival of good thinking. People are just... I don't understand. Gullible. So they tell you that your mother is a witch. And then you killed your mother. And then you are in prison. And you may likely be killed. It doesn't add up. Rightly, even when it comes to prophecy, you rightly divide. You see, this thing has to be a lifestyle. You need to have heard the truth over and over that when a lie packaged like a Trojan horse is delivered to you, you just package it again and return it. That is a good return to sender. Do you understand? It matters what you hear. Because what you hear more becomes what governs your life. Let no man say. It's in the saying, it's in the preaching, it's in the teaching. The doctrines of devils are men like me coming out to yarn, OPT. If you know, you know. They know at the back. Seller. Verse 18. Who concerning the truth of her, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the faith of some, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, having this approval, the Lord knoweth them that are his. What is the them? And not people. Who. The Lord knoweth the resurrection that is his own. He's talking with respect to resurrection. The Lord knows what he has approved. Let me put it that way. So them that Philetus talked about is not sanctioned. You know, it's... oh my God. I'm telling you that it is men that propagate this thing. So be careful what you listen. Be careful who you sit under. Why are we making it as if it's a big deal? It's a big deal. It will determine whether you are stable or not in your journey with God. Like I said, if you think God, you know, they say he brings down one and then takes down the other. I mean, he brings down one and then raises up another. He take it from this one and give it to this one. And it sounds, you see, Paul says, I came not with eloquency of words. Don't be moved by some of those. We can do it, though. I can do it, though. I write poems, by the way. So I can just come and blah, 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 blah. And it's, woo! Nonsense. But we commit ourselves to the truth of God's word. Even that when we want to to be honest, it's not some of those things that they say, it's not like it can be, it's preached from the word. It's not that we don't see it, but we know what God has approved. We know what God has approved. We know where his approval is. You know, God didn't kill Jesus. Kill me. God did not, God didn't kill Jesus. Where will you find Jesus? Where will you find God? In the resurrection. In the resurrection. And you know that is what makes, that is what you say, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That God raised Jesus from the dead. Not that God killed him. He bruised him for us. He was smitten by God. God didn't smite him. Huh? When he stood on the cross, Eloi, Eloi. Give God some good credit, really. You know, God cannot look at himself on the cross and then he's smiting himself. How does that work? Isaiah 53. Let's look at it. Isaiah 53. Let's look at it. Because some things need to be clear. God did not smite Jesus. God did not. Isaiah 53. Are we there? Are we there? Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of the dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness that we should what? When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we what? That we should? Who did not desire him? We. Right? He is despised and rejected of? Who despised? Who rejected him? A man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief. And what? We did what? We hid what? Our faces from him. He was? Who despised? And we did what? Can you hear yourself? Can you hear yourself? Who did the despising? Men. Who did not desire him? Who esteemed him not? God? God. 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 Man. God. God did. Amen. So, look at it. Surely he had borne what? And carried? Yet, we esteemed him how? And what? So, when he was on the cross, what did men think was happening? That God was what? God was smiting him. But who was doing this smiting or the smoting? Men. 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 Huh? You know, it was men that forsook him and all that. It was men. It wasn't God. God is not found, if he's not found in the death of a sinner, why will he be found in the dead of Jesus? Eh? By the way, that was God. The God of all flesh. The Almighty God. Who slew him? Men. Men slew God. Eh? Men killed God. Eh? You know, I'm the apple of God's eye. You come against me? By this time tomorrow. But alas, When God showed up on the scene, men grabbed a hold of him and slew him. And that is his almightiness in action. You know, and that's why those disciples, they actually ran. They were like, ah! Clearly, what's this? Where is the God of Elijah? You know, he will be found healing Malchus's ear when men brought out sword to slay. But if Jesus wasn't there, he said the man of God spoke, and it was so. God sanctioned it. If God didn't sanction it, why did it happen? Oh, pity. You know, people, there were prophets that spoke, and they didn't speak of God. They didn't speak by him. His eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. Right? That wasn't God talking. That was a man talking. Because they were like, why are you fire? Let them roast. You are God Almighty. But he wouldn't do that. You see, what is happening is men trying to be like, God is swagbear. Let us come on the scene and let us act. I heard of a story of a woman, Christian, who something happened to her. Stole her jewelry. And you know what she said? So she went to a herbalist. She said, you know what? You know, God is too slow and all that. And I was like, she knew. But vengeance, you know, when Bible talks about the wrath of God, it's not the wrath of God. There has never been sinners in the hands of any angry God. He has never been angry. Before Jesus came, when Jesus was around, after he went, forever. He has never been angry, not for a speck of a second. But men will tell you, But you see why it's important to rightly divide the word of truth. And when you study the Bible also, there is the wrath of God is the anger of man. It's figure of speech for the anger of man. And that's where people make a mistake. You see, God is not good today, bad tomorrow. You know, but the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, that is what it makes you think. Well, you know the tree is not the physical tree. It's in where? The reasoning, the mind. So men think God is good today, bad tomorrow. He give it, he take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All the glory must be to the Lord. The Lord knows those things that are his. He's not in the dead. You can never find him in. You know when he says he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's talking about resurrection. That is where you will find him, in the resurrection. In making alive. That's where you will find him. And that is where you will forever find him. Acts 13. So don't be double-minded. Acts 13, verse 27. It says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices, what? Of the prophet, which they read every what? So they read this thing daily, but yet they didn't have understanding. They did not understand the voice of. You see, it doesn't matter. You may read. There are people that read this Bible. What a car. In fact, I think there was a man that can quote the entire Bible. In fact, it can go as far as putting the comma. Hello, Jassy. So, this Bible is not a quoting material. Let quote from A to Z. Okay? Explain. Explain what you have quoted. The Bible is not for quoting. It's for explanation. Explain. Oh yeah. What you have quoted. And then we will know. Because it is what he said. Not anybody can quote. Is it not to cram? I used to do it before. You just and then you see it is ignorant men. When you hear somebody is just quoting it, and then you see ignorant men. What? You know, it's only babies that dance to their shame. They will poop and like, eh. It's only babies that do that too. Babies dance at their shame. And they do it gladly. Until an adult comes around and say, we will clean you up. Okay. Which they read every Sabbath day, they are fulfilled in condemning. So they read it, but still yet they condemned him. Verse 28. And though they found what? No cause of death. Yet what? Yet desired they what? That it should be. So who killed Jesus? Men did. God did? God did? No. God raised him up from the dead. God raised him up from the dead. Men slew him. Okay. Let's. 2 Samuel. I'm rounding up. So I'm also helping your understanding of how you study. See, when you study, have it at the back of your mind that the God and Father that you are dealing with is constant. Who has the ability to waver? God or man? Man. So God is constant. Man wavers. God predictable. Man unpredictable. God predictable. Man not predictable. Have it at the back of your mind. For God is light, and in him there is what? At all. Emphasis on at all. God is light. In him there is what? No darkness. Not just not at all. So there will never be a time when you arrive at a point when you will say you found darkness with respect to God. Well, we may find darkness with respect to your understanding, but with him, no, it's constant. Man wavers. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 24. Hey, from verse 1. Are we there? And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. If it was kindled, it means there was a time it wasn't kindled, right? And he moved David against them to say, good number Israel and Judah. Guys, if you just read here, all you just be seeing is the anger of the Lord. You know, Elijah was an angry guy. You know, he was an angry guy given his, well, in quote, natural disposition. And that is seen in the way he dealt with things. That is seen. He's a man of God. But did God sanction what he did? No. So, the mere fact that someone is a man of God and then he does stuff doesn't mean it is sanction of God, though. That is that man doing stuff. God, you know, they, I'm just trying to, so that you understand, because you will hear, you have heard, and you will continue to hear certain things, but just know that man of God, not so. Not so. And then they will challenge you, or his followers will challenge you. What do you mean? He said, okay. So we see there, the anger of God was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them. Huh? So whatever happened caused David. It was David against them anyway. It wasn't. And well, let's look at First Chronicles, because you understand. I've said it. Your perception of God will determine whether you are stable or you are not stable, right? First Chronicles, we're closing. First Chronicles chapter 21. Anyway, the word moved against. There is a word called Satanas. Where you get the word Satan. And that word means to be against. Right? It doesn't mean the devil. Right? I remember 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The man that was sleeping, what? With his father's wife. And was puffed up. And the other people too were puffed up. And Paul said, deliver such a one to her. Not the devil, to Satan. There's a difference between Satan and devil. The Greek word Satan is Satanas. It means to be against. When he says, and such a man to Satan, he says, be against him. Let him know he's done wrong. He's not saying, hand him over to... Why would Paul, correct man of God, say, and a believer to the devil, for what? From where to where? Even if he is sinned, it's not the devil's business. You know that? It's not the devil's business. So it can't be hand him over to the devil. He said, they were puffed up. Paul says, you guys are like, they were happy, like, Paul says, come on. Stand against that which he has done. Be Satan to him. Because you can be Satan to your fellow brethren. What is it? It's because you've heard Satan. He's the devil.
2 months ago.
Okay. So, same story, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 21, I said. 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. Are you there? It says, and what? Satan stood up and what? To. So, who really was provoked? Who was provoked? David. David was the one that was provoked. Has nothing to do with God. God. It was just David. That's rightly dividing. The anger of God is man-made. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto him. That doesn't look like an angry God. Or does it? No. Doesn't look like an angry God. So, the Satan there is who? David. King David. That was David. David in action. So, let me put it this way. The devil's greatest weapon against a believer is what? Is the Bible. Yes. The devil's greatest weapon is what? This. What is your greatest weapon against it? How do you do it? Rightly dividing. Understanding that God knows that which is. What is his? Resurrection. And then you divide along those lines. That God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. You divide along those lines. Anything that presupposes darkness in relation to God, you rightly divide. Huh? You rightly divide. Let's do Matthew 6. Matthew 6. I hope you're getting something. You cannot be on the fence where this word is concerned. So I expect that sometimes when you hear some people speak, don't just like, great man of God has spoken. So it is. So shall it be. Amen. No. You rightly divide. Because you see this Bible makes you think. It makes you think. If it doesn't, reread again. It should make you think. For example, God who is almighty. Let's say it the way you guys say it. I don't say it that way. I'm just joking. Let's say the way it is said. When you talk about the almightiness of God, you look at the creation of the world. Only for that man, for that God, to be killed by men. I mean, that should set your thinking. Do you get? So, when you write it, you are going to think. It allows for you to think on those things that you're reading. Don't just, Paul says, when you read, you may, that word read is not casual. He's not saying, for the year. Okay. I've read it. This is the 6th month, and I've read the Bible through and through. Twice. He's not saying that. He says, the Greek word means something like, you have, how do I put it? I'm looking at, Let me put it this way. He's saying, allow the word to be your boyfriend, girlfriend. Something you roll with. Something you are in love with. Something that you critically look at. You critically evaluate. In a way that it is not separate from you. That you are one with it. Your thoughts, your thinking, your speech, they line up with it. Do you understand? Matthew 6. We all know our Father who art at 11. I'm trying to get you guys to calm down. Verse 9. Because you see, if you read this Bible, the Lord's Prayer, you think that it allows for God to permit or do certain things. Let's read. Okay? After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Heaven, not heaven as a location, no. Heaven, the activities of God. Unseen. The activity of God. Right? In other words, your activities we see. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will done. That's the way it is written. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Die as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. He's not saying forgive us as we forgive other people. He's just saying, forgive us our debts. He's not saying, as we forgive others. You know, it doesn't make sense. God forgiving you is not in direct proportion to how you forgive others. Because then that will make him waver. Then he's not constant. Do you get it? So he's not saying that. In that he forgives, we see an example. And then we forgive others. Right? And lead us not into temptation. Does God lead into temptation? No. No. So he's not saying, lead us not. It's like, we are begging you, don't lead us into temptation. He's not saying that. He's not saying that. He actually says, you lead us not. He does not lead into temptation. James already explained it. Let no man say when he's tempted. He's tempted of what? Of God. So that's the tense by which it is written. All that you'll see there is God doing something. Do you understand? That's all you see there. Whenever we look at Job, right? James chapter 5, and then we'll close. James chapter 5. So when you read the book of Job, let's see what you're supposed to see versus what you see. James chapter 5, and then we close. James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have what? Heard of what? The patience of, and have seen the end of the Lord. That what? The Lord is what? Of tender mercies. So when you read Job, what are you going to ask? If you want to understand the tender mercies of God, which book do you read? You read Job. So James has given you summary. He has given you origo. You want to understand how the Lord is pitiful. Very pitiful. And of tender mercy. So go and do it. Read Job. So you read Job in the light of James. What James has written. Otherwise, you just come out. The Lord give it. The Lord take it. It doesn't bring one down to raise another. Well, he has brought down a king and has erected another. He brought out one who had the power of death and raised us, Jesus. That is the king that he has brought down. Any other thing is not there. Do you understand? So don't be double-minded. Rightly divide. Don't sit down on the fence. Jorah. It looks like the truth. But it's not the truth. That is why he says rightly divide. Because there are some things you will hear. And I kid you not. You will think, no. Oh, correct. It's correct. Pardon me. I don't know why I'm a Yoruba boy. It sounds like the truth. Looks like it. If you check it, it looks like. But if you check it further, it is not the truth. What do? Stay with the truth. The truth. You know, Paul says, if any man come to you preaching another Jesus, which is not another, let it be accursed. It doesn't say rain curses, so it just means don't touch it. I wanted to say something. You think this kind guy? Should I say it? I'll say it and we'll close. Philip. Let it be a curse. You understand the language. So I'm good. You understand the language, right? When he says let it be a curse, he says don't touch it. That's what he's saying. Don't touch it. Because there's just one Jesus, one Christ, one Lord, one Savior, one faith, one Spirit, one baptism. One. There is no other. There is no other. Father, thank you for the riches of the glory of the inheritance which is Christ in us, unveiled by your word to our eyes, to our ears, to our heart. We see him just as you have written. Thank you. Eno freses aka osto mevele dico susto bravagina maravedusto peleta efrico borosto subravenenga la brusta feradica da boschira en felo do bravodo dusu susto bravala dica en curo stapa rica vera dico roboda diva est mongra vedica maraviestu baha estu provodo usta pravina katam. Thank you for the coming months, the years after one another, the ministry of the word, rightly divided, rightly communicated, it grows, it expands, even in the hearts of men. Men see you, men see Jesus for who he really is, and then it becomes impossible, oh, for other men to say he's not what he's. Thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for that knowledge goes forth, spreads abroad. Prico frina manusu freda babikla ashto esiko bravende porodosta. Oh, for it will be the song upon the hearts of the young and the old. It will be that which is sung even by new converts in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, for that fragrance spreads abroad like never before. Oh, for one will take it from his locality into another, and it will kusu priva dashto efenongro osusto prevedam, and the eyes of men will be opened, and their ears will hear and hearken. Oh, and they will hearken and not depart from the truth anymore. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.